Webster's defines atypical as not like the usual normal type. Well, welcome to the Atypical Podcast from theatypicallife.com. I am Matt Mooney.
And I'm Jenny Mooney. Here, we take a look at all kinds of things.
We may tell stories, we call them side stories, welcome a friend to join us, or interview someone more widely known and ask them all kinds of questions. And sometimes, yes, sometimes we may just do a little Matt chat, discussing the current happenings of our life.
Through all of it, we hope to give you something atypical as you listen along your typical day.
And today, it's a Matt chat. Hello, Jenny.
Hello, Matt.
How are you today?
I'm just great. It feels like spring outside.
You're rocking those new bangs. Let's talk about them.
I would just love to talk about them.
I'd like that. You got those bangs going. Looking beautiful as always.
Thanks. I saw a picture of, you know, myself when we were in Ukraine adopting Lena, and apparently I had bangs, so just decided to go back there.
Hey,
bring
back the bangs.
I didn't have as many gray hairs that you could see in the bangs 5 years ago.
Well, I like them. I like those bangs. You're rocking the bangs, and you're about to bring some great topics to this here Matt chat. I'm excited to hear them. Jenny, sometimes we like to do something that we call what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're rocking. Now, we had a little confusion the first time that I brought it up. If you'll go back, way back many, many episodes ago, what you're rocking, you thought I meant, what are you wearing?
Yep. I thought it meant not what you're wearing right now, but like, what do you like to rock?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What do you put on and think, I'm rocking this jacket?
Not at all.
Not
what
that.
It is what are you listening to? So what are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? So let's start off with what are you reading, Jenny? You have any interesting things going on in your little library of Jenny?
Well, we're actually reading the same book, you and I. The kids said, Anders said, you have two of the same book. And, you know, we have friends who, like, couple friends who are like, well, we just got one book and we, like, each read it. I'm like, no, that does not work. If we're going to read the same book at the same time, it has to be two separate copies. So we purchased two separate copies of one book.
The best thing we've ever done.
Great. I need you need
to have six highlighters. You kind of have like a book for you is really a locker. Mm-hmm. So you have like your Bible locker.
Mm-hmm.
So you open up that Bible and post-it notes will fall out. Index cards will fall
out.
Three
pencils,
different colored pens.
Yeah.
And so we do not share books. We learned that one the hard way early on. I like to highlight, make little notes, put up at the top like, this is the topic that's discussed here. So when I flip back, I'm like, oh yeah, I can find that topic. But man, if you get a hold of one of my books, my whole system just falls.
Well, and then I'm confused on what to do. If I get a book that you've already read and it has your
system,
underlines and pencil marks, like, am I allowed to write in this book too? You know, if you already have, I mean, most likely you're going back to look at it again. I'll never look at it again.
We can clear this up. There's a system for this too. I don't want you to be in, I don't want this to be a gray area or ambiguous for you the rest of your life. You need to ask because there are certain books, certain categories and certain tiers of my books that if I opened up one of my, I'll call them my faves.
Okay.
And I saw a pink, green, or purple
now look,
line.
I usually only write in books. Like in my Bible will be like colorful things. But in books, I usually only do a pencil.
Well,
so I don't think there's any situation in which you would see a pink marking in one of your books.
We'll park this under the category, needs a little marital counseling advice.
Okay, that's good.
But I think let's just leave it at don't assume you can put your template in your ways into a book that has already my ways. Now, if you pick up a book of mine and it's not underlined, or you pick up a book and it's not in that top tier, and I can quickly tell you if it is. I've shelved them out accordingly, Jen.
Yeah, they're organized by this.
So if they're not in the top tier, you know, hey, doodle in them, draw a little flower, whatever floats your little artsy fartsy boat, do it in that book. Get your Bible locker going, full steam ahead.
It's not very minimal, but I think I'll just buy another one. just get another book. If it's that important and I'm not, you know, and I'm confused on what to do and I really want to mark up a book, I'll get another one. I don't think there's many books like that. But the book we're reading right now is a book like that. There's a lot in there that both of us take away and have really enjoyed. Matt, tell us about
that book. There we go. We were both good in there. We just keep talking about it. But the name of the book is The Way of the Dragon or The Way of the Lamb. It's by two authors, one of which I neither know how to say his first or last name. Apologies. And I've assumed it's a guy. I think it is a guy. It's two men. I'm going to go with Jamin Goggin. It's probably both on both accounts. J-A-M-I-N. Jamin. I mean, I'm kind of in a basketball mode. I like Jamin. Goggin could be Goggin. G-O-G-G-I-N could be a million things.
I mean, let's think about it. Let's move. Just see that, there's so many different ways you could say that name. Right.
I mean, my name's Matt, so there you go. And the other author is Kyle Strobel. Thank you, Kyle, for having a name I can pronounce. And so these two guys wrote this book, and I believe this book was recommended by someone we're going to have on the podcast pretty soon, our buddy friend Amber Haynes. Am I right?
That's right. Yep.
It came to me by way of you bought it and handed it to me and said, we're going to read this.
Well, I think prior to that, she had texted both of us and said, "This, you guys will love this book."
Yeah. And I think she knew it was kind of one that we would love. And I'm not through with it. I'm probably 3 or 4 chapters in. So I'm still really at the beginning, but I'm intentionally kind of reading it slow because I am enjoying it. How far are you in?
I don't know, a few chapters. I mean, I'm not super far in. Like Amber asked me the other day, oh, have you gotten to the Jean Vanier part? And I have it. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's one of our faves. So if they're going to discuss anything he talks about, we're going to love that too.
Part of the book, they go and they interview some older stalwarts of the faith. And so the whole book, and one of them is Jean Vanier, which is a huge mentor to us in our work with folks with disability. And we've loved reading his writing and loved the way that he did large communities, and we should do a podcast on him sometime, and we will. I just made up our minds. But until we do, we'll talk about this book. And they are basically discussing in the book, or the premise of the book is, what does real power for a follower of Jesus look like? What does that mean? And what does it mean that we have power or to pursue power? And then, so they kind of, I would say the overarching kind of theme so far, as not having read the whole thing, but enjoyed what I have read, is, you know, just from 2 Corinthians 12, or as our president would say, 2 Corinthians 12. and you know what? I just want to say right now, I love it that maybe people don't know the little church language or don't know how to do it right, and they're reading the Bible. Fantastic. Phenomenal. The problem becomes when you act as though you're a real Bible aficionado, and then you know, on national TV, do it wrong. 2 Corinthians 12 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So that's kind of the overarching verse. I mean, there's many, many more verses that speak of weakness and what they describe as the way of weakness. And then they kind of, in the chapters that I've become familiar with so far, and maybe we'll continue to update folks, but they've kind of talked about how the church has become an enabler, where we hear about how much God needs us instead of really hearing about how desperate we are for God. And so they do all of this big question mark over their discussions with these heroes of the faith and really in their own life and what they've experienced as they've become these guys with platforms and stories, and they're the wanted guy. They're the guys with the power and the Instagram followers, and they got the book deal. What does real power for a follower of Jesus look like? Probably not that is where the book is going. So that's kind of The Way of the Dragon versus The Way of the Lamb. Jenny, what are you liking from it?
Well, the subtitle says, searching for Jesus's path of power in a church that has abandoned it.
That's pretty strong subtitle.
Yep, yep. And so, I mean, even just when I first saw that, I was super intrigued. But as they talk about the power that Jesus exemplified and that he talked about was really in weakness and in complete dependence on the Father, I found myself thinking a lot about where are the places in my life that I see most clearly the glory of God displayed. And it's usually in places of weakness. You know, it's where I'm able to see him more clearly in my weakness or in those around me, as they like are vulnerable about their weaknesses. And so I just, most of what they're saying resonates with us. I mean, they do a great job of, they pull in the world of disability. They're not strictly talking about it, but as they list and talk about how power is seen in weakness, of course, that they're going to, you know, talk about disability some too.
And for me, and they do talk about disability because they're going to talk about Jean Vanier, and that's a huge part of his life. I will kind of unpack a little bit about him, but L'Arche Communities was started by Jean Vanier, who just began living in community with persons with cognitive disabilities, which was a radical thing at the time when he was doing it, because most persons walking through that were put into institutions. And so he, I believe he was a Catholic priest. So he's French Canadian. And so he began living his life in community in a house with persons with disabilities. And then he started those communities. So there's L'Arche Communities. That's L-A-R-C-H-E, L'Arche Communities all over, everywhere. And so just love that idea. But of course, we kind of see this whole motif through the world and the relationships and friends with disability that we have. And just through our own lens of our son, our firstborn Elliot, who lived for 99 days, of our current, our daughter Lena in our home, this theme of weakness is one that we feel like personally we've just seen over and over and over again, that there's a way of the world and it is not the way of God. And I'm actually talking about this, at our conference. Jenny, we should talk about that. Yep. We have
Engage Conference.
Engage Conference, which is eating our lunch. I get excited about it every year, and every year the amount of details eats my lunch. However, we have so many wonderful, fabulous people helping us pull this off that it's really fun.
And a friend asked me this week about, are you feeling overwhelmed and all that? How are you doing? And I'm like, well, I actually was at different times feel overwhelmed with all what it takes to pull it off. But I think God keeps reminding me of like the overarching, like that people will feel less alone in what they're walking through, regardless if that's a parent coming to the conference or the night that we're doing for the community where Jay and Catherine Wolf are coming. I hope that people will see and experience the real hope in their stories.
So I feel like there's probably people out there like, what the heck is Engage Conference? Great question out there. So the organization that you and I started, Jenny, has a conference annually called Engage Conference, which is really about the intersection of disability and faith. And so we bring a lot of people in that are doing presentations on anything from how to do an effective IEP if you have a child with disability in the public school system, to how to make your church more inclusive of persons with disabilities. So unbelievable content during the day. And this year we added a night, as you spoke of, with our friends Jay and Catherine Wolf of Hope Heals. So excited to welcome them in. And so we will have a day-long conference on kind of how your church can be more inclusive and how we can be a more inclusive community. And then a night focused on just kind of their story, which is fun because that kind of was birthed out of this podcast. That's been a really fun part of this is we just loved the interview with them. We loved their story. And we said, man, we want to bring these folks in and have them share their story in our community.
And they said yes. And here they come.
And they said yes. And we said, heck yes, let's do this.
Well, I love that Matt joked with him at one point, like, I'm glad you guys, they spoke at Passion in January. And he's like, I'm glad you guys spoke at Passion and really like warm you up for, you know, this crowd in Northwest Arkansas.
You, all of you folks not in the Christian bubble, first of all, kudos. Second of all, the Passion Conference is like a conference of 50,000 people. We'll probably be rocking about 200. I said, hey guys, I'm glad you were prepared through speaking.
Yeah, Passion just warmed them up a little.
Warm them up. Come to the big time. But they've been very generous, very kind to come and share with our community. We're so excited about that. But it is eating our lunch. And there's a lot of details with that. But I'm excited. I'm taking this book that we're reading, Jenny, and I'm kind of using that. And I actually was working on this morning to talk about in 99 Balloons World, we talk about changing the story of disability and the fact that the story of disability doesn't change unless I change. Mm. And the story of disability doesn't change unless the church changes. And so that's going to kind of be my message. And it's going to be, we don't, you know, it's a great tagline, changing the story of disability. Everybody thinks cute tagline. Nice. Let's go. That's exciting.
Yeah,
and
let's
fun.
Do that.
You know what we don't like? We don't like change. And I don't like change. You know what I like? I like to lean on my power, my influence, my relationships, my network. That's what I like. You know what the church likes? The church likes smoke and mirrors and drawing big crowds and having a lot of followers and passing the plate and having enough, everybody has enough money. That's what we like. Nobody likes weakness. We don't naturally gravitate to that. It is only Jesus that pulls us into the humility and the hard places and the painful spots to say, man, you're going to get all the glory for this because this is, I am weak. I'm not able to pull this off in my own abilities and power. And, you know, I'm kind of using it, Jenny, as a time of confession to just say, hey, I am guilty of trying to build an organization called 99 Balloons, whose whole purpose is to champion the fact that God loves you regardless of ability. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of trying to build that organization on my abilities. Mm-hmm. And we can't change the story of disability until I change, until we change, until the church changes. And I just think there's no better message right now for the church to be reminded of.
Yeah.
This is the time. If you look around politically, culturally, there's, you know, just this week there was so much anti-Semitic things going on in the news. There were graves toppled over. There were phone calls made to Jewish places and threats and all this just weird BS hate stuff that I can't stand. In the church, if we have such an opportunity to show a better way, to show a better story to our world, then we're hungry for power and we're hungry for control and we're hungry for safety. And by damn, we're going to get it when we know the way. If we would just come instead with the way of Jesus in weakness and in humility and in love, man, I think this is a time when the world will perk its ears up at that mm-hmm. message. But all too often, that's not the message that we're giving. And it saddens me. So we'll be talking about that at Engage, Jen. I don't know if you noticed, but it'll be hard to shut me up.
I love it. I think it's so great. I think we are in a culture and a world that's hungry for the authenticity in that. You know, and it's not what they're given a lot of times by the church.
And all of that as a way of what are we reading?
What are we reading?
The Way of the Dragon or The Way of the Lamb. We'll put a link to it in the show notes and links. I also have just finished reading Frederick Buechner, Now and Then, A Memoir of Vocation. I just recently made a big purchase of like Nouwen books and Buechner books, all these authors that I'm like, I always love everything that I read from them. I just went out and went a little nuts on Amazon. And the great thing about Amazon is showed up the next day.
Yep.
All of them. Yep. Boom. They're old books. They're not very expensive. So I've got some books to make it through. That's what you read. Are you reading anything else, Jenny?
I can't read multiple things. I don't do.
No.
I don't
I'm
do
sorry.
This. Like, no.
Did I take you off?
No. I mean, maybe it's a little side rant.
Little button. I just touched a button.
A little side rant.
Everybody
if I
back
move
away
on,
from the
I can't remember like the way that my mind works. I'm gonna have to. If I go to another book and then come back to The Way of the Dragon, The Way of the Lamb, I'll have to back up like 4 pages
we don't
to
want
even
that.
Remember, and then it's mm-mm.
Oh, no. We don't want you.
One thing at a time. But I do have a list going.
We don't want you backing that thing up.
So, stop it.
Jenny, let's move on. That is what you're reading. What you're watching. Let's talk about what you're watching. Is there anything out there that's just really floating your boat on the watching?
No, I'm just not watching anything.
No. Didn't. You know, that's not true.
That's never the answer. Well, first of all, we love Speechless. Have we talked about Speechless on the Mat Chat?
Maybe, we have not.
Maybe we brought it up? No.
We have not.
That is super surprising. Okay. So, Speechless.
If I've never heard of Speechless, tell me about just the general plot of it's a TV show. It's on ABC and
Speechless is a family where the oldest child has cerebral palsy. He uses a device to speak, so hence the title. Speechless, and he has an aide that helps him as he points to the words on his device. The aide will speak for him, and so
And the story is not just about him. It's kind of about his family and their experience of it. And I mean, it's a mom, it's a dad, it's three kids. One has severe disability. So obviously, if it's done well, we kind of resonate with this story.
Well, and here's what I always wonder. I mean, I think it's genius. I mean, I watch it every time. I'm like, we will make eyes at each other like they slid that in there. I mean, they talk about siblings. There's one, just for give an example, I could give 15 examples, but I'll try to give a quick one. A lot of times siblings of kids with disability can be overachievers because they kind of have this like feeling, I guess, somewhere, even if it's not labeled, of compensating for the weakness.
Sure, they know mom and dad is kind of stressed. They know mom and dad are kind of trying, so they're kind of trying in their own way to oftentimes to make things better, to overcompensate for what's going on.
So there's an episode where his sister, who runs track, all of a sudden realizes that she runs and competes so hard because her brother can't. And she just can't. I mean, she's probably 13. I don't know how old she is. She's around that age. And she realizes it. And it's, I mean, the show is a comedy. It's hysterical. They've done a good job of making something that's like a heavy topic to make it funny. And the writer is a guy named Scott Silvery. He's the creator. Well, he's not the writer. He's a creator and executive producer. And on the Easter Seals website, they did an interview with him and they asked him what his inspiration was behind the show. And he said, I grew up in a family a lot like the one you see on the show. I have an older brother with CP and a mom and dad who fought like mad to provide the best life they could for him and for all of us. And we laughed a lot. It's long been a hope of mine that I could bring a family like ours to the screen. And so they use comedy with that, you know, to laugh at these challenges.
For sure. I mean, there's no way if you have any experience of disability as a family or there's no way you watch this show and you know immediately like, oh, that somebody behind this show is in on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I made a little list here. Some of my favorite things about Speechless is just it's the way they do what they do. And it is fun. So many drivers, there's mom, there's dad, there's three kids. One has CP, but they are poking fun so often of the way the world treats them. So one of the things I love, it's not sugarcoating disability and it is not sappy. It is not pity, though they do show some of the reality sides mm-hmm. of that. But so often, you know, it exposes much of the pity and what's called, kind of inspiration porn that is the reaction so often to persons with disability and their families. What I mean by that is like that's a saying. Inspiration porn is kind of like you would see a poster like, you think your day's bad, you know, what about this guy? And it's a person in a wheelchair who's achieved something, you know. So you're using these people as a way to motivate yourself or and so that's there's a TED talk on that. It's such a real thing though. Like you pity these folks or you make them some special people. They got special powers or wings or angels or whatever weird kind of stuff. It's like, no, they're people with disability or just people who experience life a little bit different than you. But this show, it shows the family just accepts the crazy. Like, mm-hmm. like, and that's something that you and I relate yep. with. Like, we quit trying to blend in. We've quit trying to catch up to the Joneses.
Uh-huh.
And they totally have like thrown the towel in on keeping up their yard, on their life, on their
house.
I mean,
house. I think that was the thing. We looked at each other. We like died. Because he's like, oh, no, no, no. We're never going to fix. Like the neighbor's addressing the condition of their yard. And this dad says, oh, no, 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 no. We're never going to do that. We got too much other stuff going. We've just like, we're fine with it. So funny.
And I don't want to fanboy on it too much, but this is a show. Like
I'll fanboy on
it. This is the first comedy that we have both enjoyed and like made sure that we watched together since, I don't know.
Oh, a long time.
I don't know. So, I mean, it does a really good job of being funny, but also having meaningful moments within the funny. It's very well written, which always for me, that is like, if it can be witty and kind of sarcastic, and then I'm probably going to like you.
And here's the thing. I think it's so genius, but I wonder, do other people too? Like if you're not in this world. So if you're out there and you're listening and you've seen the show Speechless, let us know what you think. Let us know if you think it's as great as we do, or if you watch it and you go, I don't really get it because it's not my world. Like I would love to know that.
Or I am sure there are families experiencing disability who hate it, you know, and they don't think it's, but That and us. We like it. And we have heard, like, before I watched it, I got multiple texts from people while they were watching it on how much I was going to like it. Or they're like, this part was so like Jenny. This part was so like you. In fact, there's a little ongoing conversation of like, am I more like the mom or more like the dad?
Yeah.
That's been the conversation. But we definitely relate to these characters in this story, and maybe we'll have some of the Speechless crew on one day. We'll make it a goal of our life.
Awesome.
So Micah Fowler is the
actor.
Is the actor who he has cerebral palsy.
They wanted to make sure to cast someone who was experiencing that and not just acting.
So maybe we can get someone alongside him and we can interview them sometime. That'd be fun.
Yep.
So what you watching? That concludes a little bit of what you watching. Well, no, it doesn't, because she may not read two books at the same time.
I don't have two books going at the same time,
but she's
golly,
watching it.
I got more than I can watch all kinds of things at the same time. So This Is Us. It's a thing. Have y'all seen This Is Us? Now, here, I have two things to talk about with it. This Is Us.
And okay? This is not one. I mean, you haven't seen all the episodes, right? I've probably seen three or four. You've probably seen seven.
Yeah, I've seen more than you.
Oh, you've been watching them. here I sit going through my day thinking about how hard you've got it, how hard you're working. Then I catch up. Then I hear about how many shows you've watched, and I'm like, what are you doing during your day?
You have meetings at night, or you're gone out of town, or
yeah,
all kinds of. I find time.
You find little pockets to watch things without me.
Yes, completely.
Hurts my feelings, and you know that.
Well, you don't want to watch as much as I do, so I felt like it was okay. Now, and that brings me to one of my points about This Is Us.
Go with it.
Some people say that This Is Us is just too much because they pull on your emotional heartstrings a ton. Their topics of race, adoption. There's a gal that struggles with her weight. There is.
I mean, in my three episodes, I would say that's a very fair accusation.
Grief. I mean, they layer on a lot.
Everybody's got their problems. They're covering every problem.
Yeah. And so some people say it's just too much. And one thing I was thinking about, do you think it's too much? I mean, were you watching and you're like, it's just kind of like lots of emotions.
I mean, it is well done. Do I think it's too much? I mean, I mean, if anybody says this is too much, I'm like, well, yeah, I see what they're doing here.
So here's my theory on This Is Us. And it would be really interesting.
So my question is, this going to be interesting for anybody who hasn't seen This Is Us, which is a lot of people?
Well, maybe. But I think if you have seen This Is Us, one of my theories and thoughts is how you feel about This Is Us will probably let you know what your number is on the Enneagram.
Because... So you're going back to a former interview where we interviewed Ian and Suzanne on their book, The Road Back to Us.
Road Back to You.
The Road Back to You. You got too many pronouns.
This Is Us. The Road Back to You is a lot.
I mean, I'm over here just trying to explain all the things you're bringing up, because I might now not know what This Is Us is, and I might not know what the Enneagram is. So go ahead and unpack it.
For example, if you're a four on the Enneagram, you are known for being like emotional, kind of like bent towards dark things in a way. You're melancholy and you're like,
you're gonna
eat
it
up. That if you're a four, This Is Us feels really good.
This is,
you know,
candy.
It's like amazing. I think if you're an eight, it's just a guess, and you're an eight.
I'm an eight, so I don't have to guess.
Because one of the things, like, for instance, one of the things in their book that they kind of say that an eight would say is, if God wanted people to wear their heart on their sleeve, that he would have put it there.
Good point.
So it's just a quick little theory on This Is Us.
Okay,
I think your
maybe
feelings
we'll have to have,
on This Is Us can coordinate with your Enneagram number.
Maybe we'll have to have Ian and Suzanne back on and ask them so they can just blow that out of the water. They'd be like, that is a horrible theory.
No.
Or they'll just affirm you. Jenny, moving right along as possible. What are you rocking? You know, I'm always listening to the same things. I'm listening to Band of Horses, Jason Isbell, John Mayer, Bon Iver. I mean, none of these, but I have a little confession on what you're rocking.
Oh.
That is, I've found a new work rhythm. So often I'm working in loud spaces, coffee shops, or somewhere, maybe home. It's loud too. But I cannot work with music that I know. My mind is occupied with like singing along, or I'm keeping the beat. I cannot do that. So totally. I've tried like Spotify, but it'll end up playing a song that I know. I mean, if I like the music, it plays songs that I know. Or Pandora, it'll play songs that I know. So I've always had this little like this space of like I need music in my ears to white noise for the mm-hmm. people around me. But I have found it.
Yep.
Eureka, Eureka, I have found the answer, because it's a little confession. It's a little strange. It's a little out there. I listen, Jenny, to Gregorian chants while I work. And it's, listen, just give it a second to set in. Give it a second. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. It's worshipful. I never sing along. I don't even know or have any clue what they're saying. It's in Latin. There's also like 40 songs on this one CD that I bought. I just shuffle that mother.
I love it.
And I get production upticks immediately.
When did you play? What were the kids were working on something or reading or they were doing art or something and you played it and they were like, what is
they were so
this?
Confused. You know, they're used to you playing some sort of radio bumping something. I turned on my Gregorian chants and I mean, my coolness factor in my kids' eyes just dropped like right there. Just boom.
I don't know if they even thought cool or not. I think they were just too confused.
Just
to
confused.
Even think you were cool or not cool.
But I'm telling you, just don't knock it till you tried it unless it's hard drugs. Because listen, I'm telling you right now, Gregorian chants in your ears while you're trying to do something productive, you can concentrate more. You can get it done. It's working for me.
Is it? Where do we find Gregorian chants to listen to?
iTunes,
Spotify. You have purchased Gregorian chants?
I have purchased Gregorian chants.
Okay.
I might be the last person that did, but I did it. Jenny, what are you rocking?
Are you ready for this, people?
I don't know.
I'm rocking Voxer. It's all I'm listening to these days.
You are loving some Voxer. Now, again, always your answers require a little explanation.
I know that's why we make a great team. I can just throw something out there. You can make people understand what the heck I'm saying.
Love that about you. So Voxer is an app. I bought you a new phone. I will milk that for at least a year and a half. Bought you a phone for Valentine's Day because you are my Valentine. And so you can actually like get apps now because your old phone was so horrible that you couldn't. Voxer is a new app.
Well, it's not new. I don't think.
No.
Didn't you say somebody?
It's a new app to you.
I didn't mean it was created. Yeah.
It's a new app to you where, explain it, Jen.
It's like a walkie-talkie. I mean, people say, that's their it says that when you go to buy the app.
That's kind of
buy the app.
It's a new cutting edge technology app that takes you back to 1972.
Exactly.
Truckers.
This is exactly why I love it. It's like a walkie-talkie.
Okay, hold on. Do y'all each have handles? Because on walkie-talkie, it's mandatory that you have.
Yeah, you can. Smokey. You can have a username that can be your...
Smokey.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
That kind of thing. You join and you can just open up conversations. So it's going to be similar to a text thread, except for you can type text or you can record voice memos, and mostly it's voice. And so Matt and I have a Voxer going on. Well, I'll just like tap the button and it records my voice. If he's open in the app at the same time, he's listening live, or he just listens whenever he wants to open the app.
I do think that's probably my favorite part of it. I don't know that I love it as much as you do. I'm actually not certain that anybody on the face of the planet loves it as much as you do.
No.
But
no,
you're Voxing.
Like
I mean,
it.
Like you're walking around and it looks like you're on the phone, but you're not. I think what you like about it is it's like you're interacting with people, but you don't have to actually interact with them. It's kind of like texting. Like, I sent you the message. You'll get it when you get it. Get back to me when you want. But we didn't have to have a real live human conversation.
Well, and like I knew you were in a meeting. If I know that you're in a meeting, I'm not going to call or text you. I'll just Vox and let you catch up on it in your own time.
That is
nice.
And
same with my girlfriends. Like I know that they are doing stuff and busy. Ones who have little kids or have certain times where they can talk. And ones who have older kids usually will talk in the car pickup line.
So, I mean, would you say
the car pickup line.
Would you say that everybody needs to be on Voxer? I mean, it's just like it needs to have, if you're calling, now we need to call, text, and Vox.
No, I don't think it's for
everybody. Who needs
it?
Who doesn't need it?
That's a really good question.
Well, here's let me say why you think of that answer. What I like about it, if you're doing anything creative or you're talking about an idea, it's actually mm-hmm. pretty useful because you can just push record and you can be like, I mean, you're never going to text all that you would say about something that you haven't. Like, I mean, if it's, hey, meet me at 5:30 at Tacos for Life. I've got the kids. You can text that. You can Vox it. You can text. There's no add on. But if you're like, hey, what are we thinking about this weekend? We got a lot going. We need to figure out something to do it. That's a much easier to say than it is to type out.
Yep.
So I think it's kind of it's a good creative space. We're working on Engage. I've been Voxing with some of the people on, is Voxing a verb?
It's Jenny? A verb. It's totally a verb.
I'm Voxing. I've been talking back and forth on my walkie talkie with some of the people about, hey, here's an idea. Think about this. Do this. So I've enjoyed that.
Well, and a question. I was trying to get someone on there and they were like, oh, I don't like that. Is that like, they thought it was more like social media. It's not. It's way more like a private text thread kind of thing. So you can, you know.
No. Yeah, it's not social media at all.
It's not
it's
like
more
anything posted. Nobody hears. Like Matt and I, when we Vox each other, it's just like our text thread, except for it's voices.
Jenny, do you have any rants going on in life right now? You know, usually this is the time in the show where we get to hear what I call just your pointless passions. And that is, you know, you are passionate and worked up and often about things that we all have those things. But yours are so unique. And I actually have carved out a place on the podcast for you because they never add up to anything. Like they're just the most small things that mm-hmm. you care about deeply. Got one this week for us?
No, I'm pointing right back at you.
Ooh.
Because I know you do. Let's talk about it.
Uh-oh. Where are we going here?
Let's talk about the car and the parking lot behind
oh,
us.
Oh, my word. Let's talk about it right
it's
now.
It's a nerve, y'all. I had a nerve. I want to hear Matt
if your
rant.
Kids are listening right now, this would be the time to turn down the radio because I don't know that I can talk about this little piece of what's going on in our life without a big-time beeper button. But I'm going to try. So hold on. Here goes. There's a parking lot in our backyard, Jenny. We live close to the University of Arkansas.
Right.
And there is a parking lot in our backyard.
Yeah, it used to be some old houses.
No,
we have people
right around us that they complain about that and that ticks them off.
We don't care.
We're not those people. We're like, hey, we live close to a university. They built a pretty nice parking lot. We're over it. You know why? Because we're not high maintenance, Jen.
We don't care. Have you seen our lives?
What do we care? We don't care what you build back there. Just don't build it on our yard, and I really don't care. But mm-hmm. just in this last week, Jenny, there has been and I said a week.
Week.
That's 7 beeping days.
At least.
There is a car parked right by our fence whose alarm goes off. 3 times. When it goes off 3 times. So it's honking for about, I would say, 30 mm-hmm. seconds. Then it's off for about 10 seconds. And then it honks again for 30 seconds. Off for 10. Honk again for 30. That thing has been honking off and on for a week.
Right.
I went and what did I do, Jen? Well,
that's what I was going to say. Tell us what your idea was there. He made a note.
Well, it wasn't an idea. I have to take action when things drive me this nuts. And so my point of action was I went and wrote a note from our neighborhood association. Do I represent our neighborhood association?
Do now.
I just deemed myself neighborhood association chair. There you go. I don't care.
There really is one of those and you're not it. But for the car alarm purposes.
I'm it right now. I guarantee you they'd agree with me.
They would.
All of them.
Oh, they totally would.
Our neighborhood is all over it. I went and wrote a little note and I stuck it on the car that said, to whom it may concern, your alarm has been going off and on for days now. As a courtesy to you, we did not tow your car, but we certainly will the next time that it occurs. University Association.
Blah, blah,
stick
blah.
It. And
we need to get it towed. It honked this morning. I'm surprised we hadn't heard it honk on this podcast.
I need you, if you know me, then you can text me. If you don't, send me an email. Matt@99balloons.org. I don't know what to do. So if I call the tow truck, do I have to, I mean, and believe me, I've spent some time thinking through this. And I think my best thing that I can come up with, Jenny, is I'm going to act like it's my car and I'm going to say I'm having some problems with it. Will you tow it?
Where are you going to have them tow it to?
Wherever they take it. When you call a tow truck, they take it somewhere.
Yeah.
And then poor guy's going to come to his house. He's going to come to the lot and not know where his car is.
I mean, where has he been for weeks?
You know, it's a college student. So he's been in the dorm. He's been walking. He's been riding with friends. Why is it a he in my mind? I don't know. It's easier to be mad at a he than a she. If it's a she, I'll tow it anyway. I don't care at this point. Day one or two, probably wouldn't have towed her car. Would have towed his. Day three, day four, his, hers, shims, hims. Don't care. Gender is out. I'm towing your car. And there you have it, folks. It is a Matt Chat, and that's a wrap. We sure appreciate you listening. It is always more fun when you do. If you have an idea for how to get that car towed, or if you want to see show notes and links on the things that we discussed, you can head over to theatypicallife.com for links to the books that we discussed, the authors we discussed, LARCH Communities, Engage Conference. You get the idea. Head on over there if you would like to see that stuff. We hope that you enjoyed it. Have a great week.